It is the prerogative of God alone to prescribe the duty of men and angels. The will of God is a perfect will and must be obeyed as it is set forth in His holy law, because every requirement is just and is set forth by infinite wisdom. The law of God should be obeyed even though there were no authority to enforce it and no rewards for its obedience. The highest interests of men and angels are conserved in obeying the law of God. God's will expressed in His law is the supreme will, and no invention, no device of men can take its place. Obedience to the commandments of men instead of the commandments of God will be as abomination in the sight of God. For what God requires is essential to the highest good of His subjects, and is therefore essential for the glory of God. Signs of the Times, September 24, 1894, paragraph 4. I'm grateful that God spared my life during the night. Is anyone grateful along with me? Yes, you know, last night, all over Australia and Malaysia, United States and Canada and Sweden and Japan, people died. They went to bed expecting to wake up. They were found dead in hospitals, nursing homes, private homes, on the street. Every morning around the world, people who went to bed expecting to wake up are found dead. I didn't mean to bring a cloud of depression over you, but I want you to understand this, or consider this question: why did God let us live? He could have taken the breath. It's His. Why did He let us live? He has given us one more day to do what is right in His sight. He has given us one more day to bring our lives into alignment with His will in microscopic detail. Why do I say microscopic detail? God needs 100% of your life in order to save you. What did I just say? God needs 100% of your life, surrender, to save you. The devil only needs 1% to destroy you. That's all he needs. God must have absolute surrender, or He cannot justify you. Satan doesn't need all of you. He is fine with 1%. That is all he needs to ruin a life. And so God has given you and me today to renew our surrender to Him and to make it 100%. I am pleased to see you on this chilly morning, but I'm not complaining, because you have to be alive to feel chill. Are you with me? I've never seen a dead person complain about the cold. So thank God for being alive. Yes, thank God for being alive. All right, let's pray.
Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this wonderful opportunity to stay here to listen to Pastor Francis' message. And also please open our heart and may the words and the Holy Ghost lead us through. And I was all awake through all the sermon and want to submit everything to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen. God bless you. All right, what's our subject? How to run a business. Let's go to Genesis 39. Genesis 39, we'll read from verse 1. Our subject, how to run a business. You have Genesis 39, reading from verse 1. If you have my version, you know what I'd like you to do. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. So we have Potiphar, who was an Egyptian, the text says, and he bought Joseph. All right, is that clear? An Egyptian called Potiphar bought Joseph. And three times we're told in the first six verses, Potiphar was an Egyptian. Verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, keep reading, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house. Come on. And all that he had, he put into his hand. Stop. Let's look at Joseph closely. Describe his condition. He's a slave. He was bought by the Ishmaelites from his brothers, by the way. The brothers sold him to the Midianites to the Ishmaelites. So really, bought from the brothers. Now he's brought to Egypt. He's bought by Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian. He's in the man's house. He has some sort of responsibility. And the Bible says in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. What was Joseph's condition? He was a slave. Did he have any choice regarding where he worked? No. Did he have control of his life, independent control at a human level? No. Despite that distasteful set of circumstances, you're a slave, you're forced to work, you may not receive a salary. Despite that, the Bible says what? In verse 2. The Lord was with him. Question for you. Let's say you escape oppression in your country and you're living in a refugee camp. Can the Lord be with you? Come on, talk to me. Yes. You're in prison for murder. Can the Lord be with you? Yes. What circumstance makes it impossible for God to be with you? None. And the Lord was with Joseph, keep reading, verse 2, and he was a prosperous man. Now you must see clearly that the prosperity of Joseph and his closeness to God are inseparable. The reason for Joseph's prosperity was his connection with God. Verse 3, read with me. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. The master saw two things. What's the second thing the master saw? And that the Lord made all that he had, come on, to prosper in his hand. Now, Potiphar, being a businessman, was probably shrewd. He realized that there was something different about this young man called Joseph. Now, he must have had many slaves because he was in charge of Pharaoh's personal bodyguard. Eli tells us Abraham had over 1,000 servants. When he ran off to the three armies or the four armies combined that captured Lot, he armed 318 men fit to fight. What about the men too old and the boys too young? What about their wives? Abraham had hundreds of servants. When he moved, a little city moved. Potiphar must have had hundreds of servants. But he noticed something about Joseph. He observed that the Lord was with Joseph. Now, look at verse 1 again, and we look at verse 2. We learn about Potiphar in verse 1. He was an Egyptian. We were told in verse 3, he was an Egyptian. We were told in verse 5, he was an Egyptian. The Bible is clearly drawing a contrast between the child of God and the unbeliever. Now here's a principle you must never forget. Potiphar most likely did not know who Joseph's God was. All he knew that a mighty power was with Joseph. And so verse 3 says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Here's the principle you must never forget. It is not enough for members of the church to say you're godly. You see where I'm going? It is not enough for members of your spiritual club to say you're godly. When the unbeliever recognizes that you're godly, now we're going somewhere. The unbeliever God's presence must be so compelling, an unbeliever recognizes, I may not know his name, but there's something about that young man, there's a presence in him. He doesn't know it's God, the unbeliever doesn't know the name, but he recognizes a power in that life. And so his master saw that the Lord was with him, His master also saw that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now, what is our subject for this morning? How to run a business. Look at verse 3. His master saw that the Lord was with him, but even more significant for Potiphar, Potiphar observed that this power that attended Joseph made everything Joseph did prosper. We have Joseph, and we have this power, the Lord. What do we have when you put them together? There's God. There's Joseph. There's prosperity. Joseph and God, what do you call that? Now remember our subject. What's our subject? Joseph and God, what is that? A partnership. A partnership. Joseph is a visible member of the partnership. God is the invisible but very present. So listen to verse 3 again at the risk of being tedious. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did. Listen to the power of those words. You read verse 3 for me. You're not reading it all. This is the last day. I must get you to read. Read verse 3. King James Version. Stop. Now read the last part microscopically. What did the Lord do? He made it prosper. Which means when God makes something to do something, it has no choice but to do it. The Lord made. Whatever Joseph undertook, God made it prosper. Then who was responsible for the successful results in the life of Joseph? God. Now, they had, you may call it in the light of this subject, a business partnership. But a business partnership with God includes your social life, your romantic life, your spiritual life, your health life, your family life, your recreational life, everything. Because God is not a part-time employer. God is not a part-time partner. God is full-time or he's not present at all. And so God made everything Joseph did. And I have to stress that to prosper. What is it you want to do? What is it you're doing that keeps failing? Get a partner. Get God. But not in many of us in our lives. Our partnership is this. God is the junior partner. We're the senior partners and we tell God what we want. No. God has to be the senior partner and we do what God says. You didn't like that? Nobody said amen. I understand. We like to control God. That's the way we are. But God must be the senior partner. And I just love the fact that the Lord made all that he did. Now, God provided the results. Joseph provided the surrender, the cooperation. Listen to Ellen White. Education, page 138, paragraph 2. Thus our business and calling is a part of God's great plan. And so long as it is conducted in accordance with his will, he himself is responsible for the results. Whether it's a business in a commercial sense, whether you give your family to God and you run your family like a business under God's direction, or you give your education to God and you and God run it as a business, or you give your love life to God, you and God run it as a business, you give your health life to God, you and God run it as a business, as long as God pulls the strings, the results will be guaranteed. But God has to be the senior partner in this business arrangement. I can't say it enough. The Lord made all that he did to prosper. Hebrews 13, verse 6 or verse 8. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, come on. Today, come on. And forever. Can God do that for you? Yes or no? Yes. Verse 4. Read with me. And Joseph did what? found what? Grace in his sight. Let me, when you work with God, God does that for you. Let me show you an example. Let's go to Daniel 1. Our subject, how to run a business. Daniel 1, we'll read verse 9. We know from verse 8 that Daniel made up his mind not to eat the royal diet recommended by the king himself. Before we get into that verse, let's pray again. Father in heaven, please continue to be with my mouth. Tell me what to say. Tell me how to say it. Tell me when to say it, dear God. Let your spirit have his way with my faculties, and let the spirit working through me enlighten your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's read verse 8 first. Now let's read verse 5. Let me see how severe the situation was. Verse 5 of Daniel 1. Read with me. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, Nebuchadnezzar himself chose the diet. Nebuchadnezzar did not reign or rule by committee. He was a dictator, a tyrant. He killed whom he wanted to kill. He spared whom he wanted to spare. He elevated whom he wanted to elevate. He demoted whom he wanted to demote. The Bible says demote. Now, Nebuchadnezzar said, that's what you eat, that's what you drink. Verse 8. Come on, read with me. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now Daniel said, I am not eating that. In other words, I will not obey the king. The other boys were with him on that. Now, and he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not, I don't want to eat this thing, let's draw a plan. So the prince of the eunuchs has to go along with Daniel in disobeying Nebuchadnezzar. Did you hear what I said? A man who can kill you at the drop of a hat. Verse 9. Read with me. Now God had brought Daniel into what? And tender love with the what? The prince. Now God brought Daniel into favor and tender love. Because of that, the prince of the eunuchs went contrary to Nebuchadnezzar and allowed Daniel his diet and the plan he devised to make sure that his diet would be better than the king's diet. Read verse 10. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel what? I fear the Lord my king. Keep reading. Who hath what? Your meat and your? Keep reading. For why should he, your face is worse liking than? Which are of your sort, finish the verse now, then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. He's saying, look, if I go along with this plan, I'll lose my head. But even at the risk of death, God had brought Daniel into such favor with him, he took that risk. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Despite the risk of dying, God had placed Daniel in a favorable position with that man, and the man decided to go along with Daniel's plan. God can do that for you. When you and he have a business arrangement where he's a senior partner and he gives instructions, you and I are the junior partner and we carry them out by faith. As Ellen White says, so long as it is conducted in accordance with his will, he himself is responsible for the results. And so God gave Daniel favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Go to Exodus 3. Exodus 3, we'll read verse 21. We see God giving people favor again. What God did then, he can do now. Exodus 3, verse 21, before we read, you remember when the Israelites left Egypt, what did they take with them? A lot of money. Who were the Israelites in Egypt? Slaves. Were they going on vacation or were they escaping? They were escaping. The foundation of Pharaoh's economy was leaving, and they left with money. How did that happen? Here's how it happened. Read verse 21 nice and loud of Exodus 3. What does it say? And I will give this people what? Favor, come on, in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go out empty. God touched the hearts of the Egyptians to give the Israelites money. God gave the Israelites favor. God gave Daniel favor. God can give you favor in the sight of that harsh professor who will not grade your paper. He can give you favor in the sight of a tyrannical supervisor who's making your life a living hell. God can give you favor. God can give the Seventh-day Adventist Church favor in the eyes of the government. But there must be a partnership where God is the senior partner and we're the junior. Where God gives directions and we carry them out. And Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him. We know the story. Potiphar's wife lied about Joseph's intentions. Joseph was an upright man. She was not an upright woman. Anyway, the husband had to believe the wife and Joseph was put in prison. You know the story. Go to verse 20. Of Genesis 39, sorry. Genesis 39, verse 20. Our subject, how to run a business. When you found that, say amen. Read with me. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Now read slowly and microscopically, verse 21. What does it say? But the Lord was with Joseph. Stop. Look at verse 2. Read verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. Look at verse 3. And his master saw what? That the Lord was with Joseph. Now we go back to 21. Read with me now. But the Lord was with Joseph, keep reading, and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. He gave him favor in the sight of Daniel, favor in the sight of the prince of the eunuchs. The prince of the eunuchs did a favor for Daniel. Now he gives Joseph favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison makes Joseph the supervisor of the prison. He gives the Israelites favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Let me say it again. God is prepared to give us favor in the sight of our enemies. If we will remember that in this partnership, God is senior. He gives the directions. We are junior. We carry them out. Nice and loud for me. Read verse 23 of Genesis 29. Nice and loud and clear. Read for me. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was. Keep reading. Stop. So four times, we clearly are seeing a theme of Joseph's life. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Question for you now, is the Lord with you? I didn't ask you if you go to church. Or if your name is on the membership list. Is the Lord with you? If he is, others will see it. The Lord was with Joseph. Joseph and God had a business partnership. Listen to me. Your life is a business. Don't run it. Let God run it. Two amens, and they were muffled. I didn't speak loud enough. Let me try again. Your lives are businesses. Let God run them. If you do that, your regrets will be minimum, if not zero. You know why we run into a lot of problems? We do not follow this arrangement. God in charge, I obey. We switch it and we tell God what to do. And that's not the way it works. It must be God in charge. He gives directions. You and I obey because we can trust him. Sometimes I talk to people or they write me and I ask myself, how did he get into that mess? How? How did she get into that tangle? There's some hardships God allows. He may even send. But they're not common. There's only one Job in the Bible. Are you with me? There's only one. But too many of us live as though we're Job, suffering one calamity after the other. There's only one Job. When that happens, we must step back, look at our relationship, look at the business partnership. What is God's duty? What is mine? Your life is a business. Let God run it. If He does, He will produce results and He will get the glory. Your education is a business. Let God run it. You're dating someone, your romantic life is a business. Let God run it. Your family life is a business. Let God run it. And His office is not your house, His office is your heart. The Lord was with Joseph. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. Let's see something very powerful. 1 Corinthians 3, we read verse 9. What time is it? 10:27. 1 Corinthians 3, we read verse 9. When you found that, say amen. Now I want you to read very, very carefully and look at what you're reading. Let the words speak to you. Are you ready? Read for me. For we are laborers together with God. Stop. That's all I need. We are laborers together with God. What do you call that? A partnership. Is anyone present studying economics? Political science? All right. Medicine? Anyone studying anything? Okay, what are you studying? Chemical engineering. All right. What are you studying, my good brother? Bioscience. All right. What's the largest chemical company in Australia? Who? Well, all right. Rio Tinto? Rio Tinto. Tinto Rio, Rio Tinto. All right. You're in chemical engineering. Here comes the CEO of Rio Tinto and offers you a 6-month internship. All expenses paid. Chemical engineering. Number one company in Australia, number one Southeast Asia, number one in the world. How would you feel? You don't have to work on Sabbath. There's a company car. Excited. I have an internship. When I'm finished, any other company will want me. Biosciences. Who's the chief medical officer in Australia? Well, let's go on Dr. Spock. Okay. And he comes to you and he says, yes, you know, live long and prosper. And he comes to you and he tells you, my young brother, he says, listen, I want you to shadow me and follow me for 6 months as I take care of the national health of the nation. And you just tell your parents, Mom, Dad, you know what happened? I have an internship with Dr. Spock. And he gave me an office right outside of his. And before anyone see him, they must see me. Someone is doing political science in the United States and is offered a 6-month internship with the Speaker of the House or the President. You're in international relations. You're offered a 1-year internship at the United Nations to shadow the Secretary General. And you run around telling everybody. Now here comes God. Here comes God and offers you not a 6-month internship, a lifetime internship with Him. And no one sees the value. Not Gabriel. God. We are laborers together with God. This is no symbolic statement. This is literal. God wants to work with us. Not 6 months, not 9, not 18 months. An eternity begins now and extends into the life to come. We are laborers together with God. But in order for that to work, we must remember Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Let's go there quickly. Our subject, how to run a business. Amos 3, verse 3. Do you have Amos 3, verse 3? All right, one of the minor prophets. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Who can recite all 66 books in order? May I see your hand? Come. Come, you must obey. Come. When the preacher calls you, come, or you won't grow. Come. Or, what's your name? Joshua is a good name. That's a Hebrew name for Jesus. All right. All 66 books. Amen. Joshua, I like you. God bless you. Thank you. When I was a little boy in the church, almost everybody could do that. Nobody does it now. What book did I say? Amos, what chapter? What verse? Now, we just said that we are laborers together with God for that to work. Now, read the first part of Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, that's a business partnership. If one partner wants to go this way, the other one that way, it will collapse. They must walk together. And for this business partnership to work with God, we must walk together. Now, since God doesn't change, and He need not change because He's perfect, we have to change. You see, if I'm over to the right and God is to the left, in order to walk together, one of us must move. And it cannot be God. And so while we're laborers together with God, the essence of that is we must walk together. And for me to walk together with God, I must walk the way God walks. I must walk according to God's principles and not impose mine on Him as we so often do. Won't you consider entering into a business partnership with God with your life as the commodity? You will never regret it. Your mistakes will be reduced to a minimum that does not even deserve consideration. Your rewards will be beyond computation. Your life will inspire others. Give your life to God as a commodity that He and you manage by His principles. Your love life will fall into place. Your health life will fall into place. Your business life will fall into place. Your family life will be strengthened. Every aspect of your existence will be a blessing if you and God run it with God as the senior partner, giving the directions and you following them by faith because you trust Him. He runs the whole universe. Why can't He run my life? And so this morning, I ask God to take my life, run it. And give me the wisdom, the common sense to follow His directions. So that it may be said of me, as it was said of Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. That it might be said of me, as it was said of Daniel. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. That it might be said of me, as Jesus said, He that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Give your life to God as a commodity, as a business that God runs with you as His assistant. How many will say, Father, take charge of my life. Run it with me as your junior partner. Can I see your right hand? Do you mean that? Stand up with me. Run it, dear God. You are the senior partner. Tell me what to do, and I will do it. Raise your children according to God's directions. Run your business according to God's directions. Take care of your body according to God's directions. Conduct yourselves in the church according to God's directions. And according to the words of His servant Ellen White, if we do that, God Himself is responsible for the results, and we all want results. Let's bow our eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Father, life can be so simple and so blessed if we will simply do things your way. Please, dear God, forgive us for our folly, for thinking that we know best. Forgive us, dear God, for trying to tell you how to run our lives rather than surrendering to your recommendations, which all lead to life now and in the time to come. Please, God, help us to realize our problems are largely the result of our own doing because we will not do things your way. We've stood to say, forgive us, dear God, for trying to run our own lives. Now we've given our lives to you, every aspect of our life, economic, educational, romantic, family, health, social, every aspect, Father, we bring to you, we ask you, God, please, manage this and employ us as your assistant. Because our life is yours. We learned yesterday, every organ we possess is yours. Our eyes are yours. Our ears are yours. Father, take charge and use us as your assistant that we might fulfill 1 Corinthians 3:9. We are laborers together with God. An apprenticeship that runs for an eternity. Father in heaven, receive us and begin that work of management right now. Bless every family, dear God. Let them see their family as a business. Bless every individual. Bless every student. Let him or her see his or her education as a business. Father, encircle all that we have so that it might be said of us, as the devil said of Job, hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Let that be the testimony of our lives. Bless the rest of today's activities, Father. Help us to guard our conversation. It may not be the Sabbath, but when the sun set yesterday and the holy day came to an end, the sun did not set on our personal holiness. We are still holy people now. Let us remember that. Watch over us. Thank you, Lord, for this weekend. And may everything else bring glory to your name, blessing to us. I offer this prayer from my heart. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.